Well, good morning again. When I was working on the sermon, I was looking at different things, and you know, you're always trying to find a good title for the sermon, and I saw where it says there that he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Man, don't you want to find favor with the Lord? Don't you want to find God's favor resting upon you? That's what I think we all want, but sometimes it can be difficult to find. I think we found it this week at Plum Creek. Bible school really was. It was great this week. I think it was one of the best ones we've ever had. Just as far as, you know, every year it seems like there's some, you know, some frustration or some issue. And it seems like, you know, there were the normal stuff, but it seems like everybody handled everything so well. I was just so blessed with that. And so we're just going to jump in here and we're going to look at what's going on here and try and get through the passage and just see what we need to see, okay? So if we want to find favor with the Lord, if we want to get Him involved in our lives in the right way and get that positive spin on how He's going to work with our lives and all that kind of stuff, there's some things we need to do, and we can find them in this passage here. The first thing we need to do if we're going to find favor with the Lord is we're going to have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee." You remember, Jesus had been tempted, Jesus had been baptized, all these things are going on. And if you read the other Gospels, you realize that Jesus did some ministry in Judea first, around where he was baptized. And then he comes home to Nazareth. And we're going to talk more about that homecoming next week. We're going to talk about what happens here, but there's some issues sometimes with coming home. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and full of conviction." See, if we want to share the gospel, if we want to do a good job of being who God needs us to be, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And boy, there's a lot of confusion about that. We as Baptists, sometimes we don't pay enough attention to the Holy Spirit. And some other groups, sometimes it seems like they pay too much attention to the Holy Spirit. So I want to sort of try and make sure we get that right balance as we look at this. Okay? The power of the Spirit is important. Jesus was a powerful preacher because God's Spirit was with him. Because he fought off those temptations. Because when the devil threw things in his path, what did Jesus do? He threw Scripture down in the devil's path. And so there's a connection there between spiritual strength and the Scripture. And we need to grab onto that connection. See, ministry, Jesus' ministry was based on the Word of God. And our ministry, if we want to be filled with the Spirit, then we have to be closely tied to the Word of God. You see, Spirit-filled ministry does not begin with the Spirit. It begins with the Word of God. If we want to have a Spirit-filled ministry, we have to first put things in context. Wherever you may go as a Christian or as a believer, your ministry, your life needs to be informed and shaped by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. If you're looking for a Spirit-led church, you need to first of all look for a church where the Word of God is preached and held up very highly. Does the preaching of the Word of God, does it stand in high regard? Jesus himself was that preacher. And a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led pastor is utterly dependent on the Word of God. And when we begin with the Word of God, then we make a good start. Now listen, I want to be real careful about this because it's real easy. Some people sort of go off way to the right. They get so focused on the Word of God that sometimes they become legalistic. And we don't want to do that. That's why we need the Word and the Spirit. On the other side, there are some that are that rely on the Spirit, and so they get much more into emotions and those kind of things and how they feel about things. And so we, as a church, need to find that right balance where the Word of God and the Spirit of God live in harmony. Let me tell you, this is sort of a hard story for me to tell, but when I was younger, my parents got divorced. And I remember having lunch with my father one day. And, you know, I was trying to keep my relationship with both my parents going, and I remember sitting across the booth. I can remember the restaurant we were at, and you know, you ever have those moments of clarity? And I remember my dad sitting across the table from me telling me that that God was leading him to divorce my mother, that God was leading him to find his own happiness. And you know, I at that point I was still in the Marine Corps. I hadn't been to seminary, but I'd been studying the Word of God, and it was one of those moments where I just sort of stopped and I said, Dad, you know, don't try to blame God for the things that you want to do. Don't try to get God on your side. I understand there may be issues in your marriage. But here's what I know. God's Spirit will never lead you where God's Word does not want you to go. And we're pretty clear here that God's Word says that marriage is a special thing and we need to hold it together. And I know God, Jesus also said that He gave divorce for the hardness of our hearts. Sometimes we can't hold it together. But don't blame God when we do that. And it's always reminded me that we have to keep that balance. It's not about how you feel. Now, I hope that when you come to a Spirit-filled church, that sometimes you get filled with the Spirit and you get happy. But you know what? God is more concerned with your holiness than with your happiness. And God is more concerned with your obedience than with whether things are all going perfectly in your life. And so if we're going to be a Spirit-filled church, we need to make sure that we stand on the Word of God, and that when we let the Spirit of God speak to us, that we make sure that the Spirit of God and the Word of God are together. We can see that we depend on the Word of God to inform our life and practice, and then the Spirit can work in us. Then we can see His Spirit at work in us, drawing men and women into saving faith, bringing young and old to baptismal waters, bringing forth great fellowship, bringing out the best in God's people. See, we can go over into that legalistic side and forget that God's Word says that we're supposed to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Truth being the Word of God, and spirit, we're supposed to love people too. You know, the Bible even tells us when we go out to reach people, when we go out to share our faith people, that we're supposed to go with gentleness and kindness. And you've met some people who don't share their faith with gentleness and kindness, haven't you? You know who I'm talking about? You've seen them. They want to beat people over the head with the Bible rather than open the Bible for them. You see, we've got to be people who find that right balance. See, when we have that balance in God's church among us, then we start to see God working among us. Then we see the Spirit shed forth His gifts among us. And our members and leaders begin to discover and use their spiritual gifts for the growth and development of His church. We see ministry empowered, not by our strength and resources, because if we do things in our own strength and resources, then we won't get very far. God is always going to set the bar higher than we can reach. He's always going to give us dreams and visions that are more than we can do, because we need to depend on His power. And the only way we do that is to stand strong on God's Word and experience the power of the Holy Spirit working with us. Ministry that is empowered by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. That is our heart's desire. That is my heart's desire as a pastor. I hope that's your heart's desire as a church. So we need to start with the power of the Spirit. Rely on the power of the Spirit. And then we need to reach out at home. That's what Jesus did. He says in verse 16, He came up to Nazareth where He'd been brought up. Man. I remember after I'd been in the Marine Corps a few months and I went home. You know, I'd been in the Marine Corps 4 or 5 months, boot camp and all that kind of stuff. And I went home. And you know what we think when we go home? We think everything's going to be the same. Have you ever noticed it's not? When you leave for a little while and then come back, things are different. I spent 6 months in Japan away from my wife, and I came home. And having experienced that, I knew things were going to be different. I mean, she was still beautiful. She's still my wife. She still loved me. But the furniture was different. She bought me a big chair. I need a big chair, just in case you're wondering. You know, but things change. And it's hard to go home. And one of the hardest things in ministry is to realize that we are called to minister at home. We're called to reach those around us. It can be tough to go home. I grew up in Maryland, and I've been back there for years, but I have a cousin who lives there. And I love her, but she gets on my nerves. Because she's older than I am, and she calls me Johnny. And I haven't been Johnny since I was like 12 years old. To everybody else in the world, I'm John. But to her, I'm still little Johnny. And, you know, I've even asked her, and I probably shouldn't have asked her. I probably should have just let it go. I said, just call me John. Oh, I can't. You're Johnny. You're always Johnny. It's my cousin Donna. If you want to write her a letter and tell her to call me John, that would be great. But, you know, I understand sometimes when you go home, the people, they know.